and for liberty, God. We thank you this morning, Lord, for strength, for health, oh God. We thank you this morning, God, for being allowed to sleep in our beds last night, oh Father, uninterrupted, oh God, with the things of this world. We say thank you this morning, God, because you woke us this morning, Lord. Whether the alarm clock went off, whether someone touched us on our shoulder, it was you that allowed breath to stay in our bodies and allow us to see yet another day. And for this day that you have made, O Lord, we rejoice and we are so glad in it, God. We thank you this morning, Father. And we ask you now, God, to come here, O God, in the name of Jesus, into our lives right now, God. Save, sanctify us, O Father, the more, O Lord. Keep our homes and households. Come into this place right now. We welcome you into the sanctuary in the name of Jesus. We give you honor, glory this morning, God. And we love you, O Father, for being God and being God all by yourself. This morning we say thank you. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, people of God. Come on, give God an amen and a praise this morning. Hallelujah this morning. We bless the Lord, O our soul, and all that is within us this day that he has made. We're rejoicing. Come on, somebody. We're rejoicing and we're glad about God today. We're excited about what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. We're giving him glory this morning because God is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Won't you be one that seeks him today? Won't you be one that diligently looks for God today? Give him some glory now for the things he's doing in your life, the things he's done in your life, and the things you're expecting God to do. Amen. And we say to you this morning, this outcome, whatever the outcome was right now, this outcome is not the end. This outcome this morning is not the end. Whether it's been something good to you or something not so good, we're reminding you this morning, this outcome is not the end. Whatsoever God says, he will do. Amen. This outcome is not the end. And we're coming from the book of Genesis this morning, between the 37th and the 40th verses. And we're going to come from Jeremiah 29:11 this morning, a favorite and familiar scripture for us. Amen. This outcome this morning is not the end. This morning, we're going to share from the life of Joseph this morning. And we're going to share from the life of Joseph, who was the son of Jacob. Amen. And Jacob was named Israel by God. Amen. Jacob, and many of us know the tale of Jacob and Esau. And yes, that is the Jacob, Joseph's father. Amen. And we know that Jacob became the father of 12 sons, and they were named the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob, and his he and his brother Benjamin actually were full-blooded brothers, and the others of the brothers, they were from different wives that Jacob had taken throughout his time here on earth. So we're talking about Jacob this morning. We're going into the 37th chapter of Genesis, and we want you to mark these scriptures down so that you can go back and read and reflect and learn more about this man's life. And I just want to remind us that Joseph went through many things, and he could have given up on God. He could have given up thinking that this outcome that I'm dealing with right now, this is it. It's all over. But so many times in his life, God showed him that this outcome was not his expected end. Before we get too deep in, let's look at Jeremiah 29:11. And we're reading from the King James Version with this particular scripture this morning. Jeremiah 29:11 in the King James Version says this: "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Let's read that again. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11. To give you an expected end. An expected end. That means what God has for you is for you. He already knows what the end is going to be. Amen. God says, I know the thoughts I have toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Though you may go through some things that disrupt your peace or interrupt your peace, some things that may be evil, may be strange, and may be harmful in your thinking. God says, these are not the thoughts I have towards you, but I have thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. So remember this morning, this outcome is not the end. So let's go to Joseph now. We're going to look at the 37th chapter. And we're going to begin with reading in your hearing the second and third verses. We're actually starting in a portion of that second verse, because the first portion says this is an account of Jacob's family line. But then it says Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks, and we're reading from the NIV version with this scripture, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel, who is Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made him an ornate robe, which means a coat of many colors, for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. My God. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated Joseph and could not, it says, speak a kind word to him. So let's talk about that. Because Joseph, first of all, we don't know what it was he told on his brothers, but he told something on them to their father. That's going to, first of all, make you not be favored. Amen? But it goes on to talk about how his father favored him. And he favored Joseph. He loved Joseph in his old age. And what had happened was eventually Joseph also caused his brothers not to like him, because Joseph was a dreamer and God gave him dreams. And when he dreamed his dreams, see, sometimes when you're given those dreams, sometimes you need to keep them to yourself. But Joseph didn't keep his dreams to himself. So he had a dream. And when he shared it with his brothers, they hated him even more, because the dream, the first dream that he had, was that in my dream, he says to them, you all bow down to me. Amen. Joseph, I can't imagine Joseph saying, in my dream, y'all are bowing down to me. I can imagine him saying it with a little authority, in my dream, you all bow down to me. And especially because he knew that his brothers hated him. Amen. And then he ended up having a second dream. And he says, in my next dream, he tells them that the sun and the moon, and listen to this, and 11 stars bow down to me. And so he tells that dream to his brothers and to his father. Now his father, Israel, Jacob, rebukes him when he tells this dream. And he says, are you saying that your mother, because evidently his father is an interpreter of that dream. He says, your mother, are you saying your mother and your father and your 11 brothers, we bow down to you? And so he rebukes Joseph at that point. Amen. Later on, Joseph is sent to look for his brother. So imagine all of this. Joseph is already talking about, I'm dreaming that you all are going to bow down to me. That means I'm over you. I'm above you. They already have a dislike for him because his father favors him, because his father made him this coat of many colors, this special coat. And he shows his favor for his son Joseph among his brothers. Later on, Joseph is sent to look for his brothers while they're out tending the flocks. And this is what happened. Eventually, if we look at if we look at that 17 through 19th verses, or 17 through 20th verses, we see some things happening here. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them, but they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to what? Kill him. They were really upset with him. Okay? Here comes that dreamer. You see how what Joseph had planted in the past with them is coming back up? That means they hadn't let go of their feelings about this thing. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. We're going to prove him. You said you're going to be over us. Let's find out how real your dreams are. Let's get rid of him. Amen? Now, a cistern, so you know, was a tank or an underground reservoir that was used for storing water. The cistern that they threw him in, however, at this time was empty. When they decided they were going to kill him, his oldest brother, Reuben, spoke up. Reuben said, no, let's not get blood on our hands. Let's not kill him. Okay? And so at some point, Reuben is not nearby. And what happens is a caravan comes along. And they end up selling Joseph to the caravan for 20 shekels of silver. Meanwhile, after he's been sold, they go back and they tell his father that he has been killed, and they take goat's blood and spread it on the coat that his father gave him so that his father will think that this was his blood. And so Jacob mourns. He goes into a period of mourning, and he's thinking about his son Joseph and that he's been killed by some wild animal. But that 36th verse of the 37th chapter says, meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. This outcome is not the end. Being thrown in that cistern, this outcome is not the end. Being sold to the caravan, this outcome is not the end. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph. Those who he was sold to, they sell him in Egypt to a man by the name of Potiphar, who is one of Pharaoh's officials. He's actually the captain of the guard. This outcome is not the end. And so I want you to know Jeremiah 29:11 again. I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, says God, not of evil, but to give you an expected end. What God did for Joseph, God will do for you. Joseph ends up finding favor in Egypt. He's sold into Potiphar's house. Genesis 39:1-4 says this. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. So he brought them from those people that the brothers sold him to. And his master, that third verse says, saw that the Lord was with him. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and that the Lord made all that Joseph did prosper in his hand. And because of the Lord, the fourth verse says, Joseph found grace in his sight. Talking about Potiphar. And he served him. And he made him overseer over his house. Now, in turn, Potiphar turns around and makes Joseph overseer, and all that he had, Potiphar put into Joseph's hands. That means he thoroughly trusted him. This outcome is not the end. When Joseph was thrown in that I'm going to say well, or that cistern by his brothers, when Joseph was sold by his brothers, he could not have expected what God already knew, his expected end. This outcome was not his end. And so Joseph goes and he works diligently and he finds favor in the sight of his earthly master, Potiphar. Amen? But that's not it. This outcome is not the end. As Joseph has been obedient as we are, we're obedient to God. We're obedient to the things that we need to do. And sometimes it seems like we're doing all we can, despite all we've been through, despite all we've gone through like Joseph, we're still leaning on the Lord's side. We're still trying to make the best choices, the right choices. And then here comes another hiccup. Well, here comes the wife of Potiphar, throws herself at Joseph, wants him to literally straight out ask him to lie with her. My God. And if you would look, thank you, Lord, in the 39th verse of 39th chapter, you'll find this. My God, and it happens between that 7th and that 9th verse. And this says, because Joseph is falsely accused at this point. The 7th verse says, and it came to pass after these things, what things? After the things that Joseph had gone through, being sold, being given over to Potiphar, after those things, after Potiphar had made him, you know, in charge of his household, it says that the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Poor Joseph. Joseph can't cut a break. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master wife, this is what Joseph told her. Behold, my master would not what is with me in this house. And he has committed all that he has to my hands. Not you, lady, though. See, she had it messed up. The master had given over to the things of his household to Joseph. But he says to him in that ninth, to her in that ninth verse, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but thee. See, he makes sure she understands that Potiphar has not kept anything from me. Your husband has not kept anything from me but you, because you are his wife. And then he asked the question, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You see, when you present it with temptation, God has you in a situation that's good, that's great. Don't worry about what you've been through. Worry about where he has you, because this outcome is not the end. Joseph reflected on that thing. He remembered what God had allowed Potiphar to do in his life. And he rejected the temptation. See, we've got to reject temptations that set us up so that we mess up the expected end that God has for us. Jeremiah 29, 11. God says that I can imagine Joseph going through right then. I could remind him if I were with him. God knows the thought he's thinking towards you, Joseph. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Keep that in your spirit from day to day. No matter what it looks like, sounds like, or feels like, no matter what you're facing, remember that God has thoughts of peace against you or for you and not of evil. Whether you're dealing with the death of a loved one, whether you're dealing with the loss of a job, remember the Lord has thoughts of peace for you and not of evil. Because the thoughts that the Lord has for you are to give you an expected end. Living in whole excellence, we walk in what? Expectation. Amen? Thank you, Lord. What God did for Joseph, God will do for you. But Joseph had to deny that woman. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, when the devil wants what he wants, he doesn't care about you. He doesn't care who you hurt. He doesn't care who gets hurt. When he wants what he wants, he will do what he can, use who he will to take you out. And especially like Joseph, when God has shown so much favor on his life. And it came to pass. She spoke to Joseph day by day. She kept worrying him with that thing. And then it ended up happening. Come on, God. And I just really need you to notice life of Joseph this morning. Because if you know his life, you know this outcome. Look at the different outcomes that he's already dealt with. This is not the end. Joseph had to keep trusting God and keep going forward. Even after he told this woman no, guess what happened? Joseph ended up in jail because she lied. Oh, my gosh. Did he rat her out to her husband? No. He just kept having to deal with it, and he kept telling her no. Well, eventually, there was a point where he was the only person in the house with her. And she approached him again, and she pulled on his garment and pulled his garment off. And when she did that, he ran to get away from her. Well, she takes the garment with her to Potiphar and just lies and tells him that Joseph had come for her and that he had approached her to lie with her. My God. My God. This outcome is not the end. Well, because of that, Joseph ended up in prison. This outcome is not the end. I know you're getting the story of Joseph this morning, and that's what God has given us. This outcome is not the end. So Joseph finds himself in prison now. But even in prison, come on, God, he found favor. He found favor in the guard that was over him. Come on. And then he was placed over people. Amen. The 21st verse, oh my God, says, but the Lord, thank you, God. We're in the 39th chapter. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph done had favor in the sight of, in the presence of his father, in the sight of his father. He has had favor in the presence of Potiphar. Now he's finding favor in the, oh my God, in the presence of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. Once he gave Joseph command over some of the prisoners. And after he did that, he trusted Joseph with them. This outcome is not the end. Prison isn't where it ended for Joseph. If you locked up right now, in whatever kind of prison you locked up in, this outcome is not the end. If you locked up in a social prison, come on, God. If you're locked up in a prison of mental institution, if you're locked up in a prison, thank you, God, for whatever it is you have done, this outcome is not the end. If you're locked up in a prison of a relationship, this outcome is not the end. If you're locked into, oh my God, somebody needs to hear this morning. If you locked into a prison of your financial state, this outcome is not the end. If you're locked into a prison, thank you, God, where your job status has you feeling like this is it, this is all, this outcome is not the end. If you're locked into a state where, oh my God, in these times you've lost your position, you've lost your position. Joseph kept losing his position. He lost the position as his father's favorite son. Come on, God. Well, he didn't really, because do you know that when they told Jacob that his son had been, when they took the coat with the blood on it to Jacob, do you know that it says he went into mourning and he says, I'm going to, they tried to comfort him. He says, I'm going to mourn until I meet my son again in death. Come on, God. He says, I'm going to continue to mourn him. He said, I'm going to mourn him until I see him again in death. Come on, God. Do you know that Joseph, his outcome was not his end, even as he was sold? Yes. Like a piece of property, like a slave? Come on, give up the slave mentality. He didn't stick to that slave mentality. Even as a slave, a servant, he did above and beyond and got the recognition. See, some of us don't know why we can't prosper or be moved up on a job, because you got that slave mentality that you in charge. See, when you a servant, when you have to serve, come on, Jesus, I don't know where this is coming from. When you have to serve as if unto the Lord. When you do the job, do it
No strings attached. Do it because you are a child of God. Do it because you know that God wants you to do it in excellence. Do it because you know this outcome is not my end. When you understand whatever position you're in, that that's not the end of where God has you going, then you've got to step up. Amen. Joseph kept it. He kept stepping up. And even after this woman lied on him, and he was thrown into prison, he went into prison with the mindset, let me do this honorably. And he found favor in the sight of the prison keeper. And then he was placed over people. See, everyone, come on. Though he had been put down, he was being yet brought up again. This outcome is not the end. Come on. So eventually, what happened was the baker and the butler of Pharaoh were thrown into prison with Joseph. I'm going to give y'all the story this morning. They were thrown into prison with Joseph. Y'all going to keep seeing that this outcome is not the end. And I hope somebody's going to get this morning. They were thrown into prison, the baker and the butler of Pharaoh, because they had done something to get on his nerves. And he threw them into prison. Yeah, you could get thrown into prison just for getting on the Pharaoh's nerves back then. So they were thrown into prison, and they happened to be thrown into the prison where Joseph was. And at some point, they both had dreams. And they began to tell their dreams. And Joseph, who had been the dream teller, look at God moving. Joseph, who had been the teller of dreams, the dreamer of dreams, now became the interpreter of dreams. Y'all see God working? This outcome is not the end. He became now an interpreter of dreams. And he interpreted their dreams as such. And with the butler, especially, we're going to focus on him this morning. His dream ended up landing him. Joseph said, you're going to be back in Pharaoh's favor. He's going to pull you back in. Unfortunately for the baker, his dream said that he was going to be killed. But for the butler, Joseph asked him to promise that when you get back in grace, see, he believed in his interpretation. When you get back into the graces of Pharaoh, I want you to remember me. Well, here we go. The butler gets back in and he forgets completely about Joseph until 2 years later. So that tells us that Joseph was in jail, incarcerated, at least 2 years or more. But he stayed right there until God moved. And so, as the story goes on to tell us that the butler eventually, Pharaoh begins to dream. And Pharaoh has a dream that none of his people are able to interpret. And at this point, the butler remembers this man, Joseph, in this prison that interpreted his dream, and he gives that information to the Pharaoh. This outcome is not the end. This outcome is not the end. What God did for Joseph, he will do for you. So you already know what must have happened. Then Pharaoh, my God, had Joseph brought out of prison. And because Joseph interpreted his dreams correctly, his dreams, oh my God, were about 7 years of prosperity and 7 years to follow a famine. And because he gained that wisdom from that interpretation, he had his people, he put Joseph, there you go again, not just interpreter of dreams, then he put Joseph on a mission. He had to begin to store up. And the people had to bring the products to Joseph and store up. And they begin to store up because they knew they were going to have 7 good years and then be faced with 7 bad years. And so they begin to store up. But Joseph was given, oh my God, a contract at that time, if I may. He was given a position at that time to take care of making sure that the stuff that was stored, that the people brought it in, that people were just in their dealings and faithful in their department. This outcome was not his end. You see, when Joseph found favor in his father's sight, it caused There's brothers to envy him. Jealousy. When you find favor in the sight of God, there may be some envy. There may be some jealousy. There may be some turns and some turmoil. But remember, this outcome is not the end. When you find favor in the sight of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, your journey might be long. Your journey might be tough. Your journey might take you through some desert lands, might take you into some incarcerations. But let me tell you, this outcome is not the end. You see, Joseph kept going, kept going, kept trusting God, trusting the Lord with all your heart for real. Joseph didn't lean to his own understanding. He didn't try to figure it out for himself. He didn't try to escape when he was enslaved. He didn't try to, but what he did, he worked unto man as if unto the Lord. He did the things that God appointed him to do. So that when he got to that position, oh my God, over the land, the very land that his brothers had sold him into. And guess what happened? Eventually, the brothers had to come because they had to bring their goods too. Everybody was commanded. And people mostly did what they were supposed to do back then as far as following the rules and the laws of the land. So when they came and Joseph laid eyes upon them, they didn't even recognize this little old guy, this young man that they had sold into bondage. And do you know, God was so good that he allowed Jacob, Israel, to live 22 years without this son who he mourned all that time. He allowed him to be able to lay eyes on him again, but in a state, guess what? That began, oh my God, Jeremiah 29:11. Come on back. Oh, God. Oh, gosh. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Just imagine Joseph, favored by Jacob, Israel, his father, favored with a coat of many colors to cover him, favored among his brothers, amen, favored in spite of what they thought, favored even after Joseph gave up his dream, amen. Remember that dream that he was going to be over his brothers? Remember that dream that he was going to be over his father and his mother and his brothers, that they would bow to him? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh my God, look at what the Lord will do. He placed him in a position where they had to come. They had to bow, come on. But he eventually allowed his father to lay eyes on him again, and his brothers, so in their stuff. Y'all done threw me in the pit, sold me, and just done put me out of sight, out of mind. Till you don't even recognize me when you see me again. You're not going to recognize me. They're not going to recognize you when God brings you up and brings you out. They're going to wonder, who is that person? That's not the same person I knew. That's not the Josie I knew. That's not the girl I knew. That's not the boy I knew. Oh my God, when I was putting my foot on their neck, that's not the same person. He's going to bring you up and they're going to wonder, oh my God, how you came out as pure gold. Because the outcome that the world has for you, the outcome that your family may have planned for you, the outcome that that job may have called upon you, the outcome that the haters may have called out on you, the outcome, this outcome, theirs is not the end. But God's expected end. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And so if you want to know any more about Joseph, I implore you, go get into that book of Genesis, my God. Begin around that 34th, 35th, 37th verse and keep reading. Oh, my God, just keep reading. Keep reading and see what the Lord did in the life of Joseph and how his outcome each time, his outcome was not, thank you, Lord, his end. Amen. Come on, give God a praise. Thank you, Lord. Come on, give God a praise. Somebody needs that this morning. Thank you, Lord. His outcome was not his end. It's not what God had for him. He had to go through some things. You see, what God has for me is for me. What God has for you is for you. I don't care whether I like what God is doing in your life. God's going to do what he's going to do in your life. It doesn't matter whether you like what God's doing in my life. God's going to do what God's going to do in my life. It doesn't matter that people hate on you, that people disrespect you, that people call you this, that people call you that. You hold fast to God's unchanging hand, and you've got to do it with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Can you imagine Joseph trying to fight those 11 brothers and ending up killed before God could do what God had to do? Can you imagine Joseph trying to silence Potiphar's wife because people have been put in those situations and he would have messed around and killed her, trying to silence her from lying on him? Go ahead and let them lie. God's got this thing. Can you imagine him messing up the plans? God says, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord. Not plans, no thoughts, in no way, shape, form, or fashion am I trying to harm you or allow evil to befall you. Evil is lurking, but it's not my plan for you. Evil is in the world, but God is saying that's not my plan for you. Evil is abounding, but God is saying that's not the plan I have for you. Thank you, God. God is reminding us, yet this outcome, that which we face, that which we have faced, that which we are going through, it's not the end. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Oh, my God. He'll do it for you. What God did for Joseph, as we reflect on this thing, what God did for Joseph, he will do for you. And what God did for Joseph, he will do for you. He will bring you up. He will bring you out. He will cause you to find favor when you don't think favor exists. He will cause you. Thank you, Lord. Somebody called me a favoritist one time. But if God causes favor to come forth from whoever it comes from, that's God's business. Come on, God. Because maybe you're doing something that God causes to get the attention of the person over you, and God sets you in a place. Oh, my God, because of your humility. Oh, my God, because of your dutifulness. Because of your trustworthiness. Because of your due diligence, God will cause you, thank you, Holy Spirit, to be favored. Thank you, Lord. What he did for Joseph, God will do for you, and he will bring you to that expected end. Amen? That expected end. Thank you, God. An expected end. As we reflect on an expected end, think of the things that Joseph had to go through. He was a teller of dreams. He was sold by his brothers. He found favor in Egypt. He was falsely accused. But he was favored even in prison. Brought out of that situation. Favored by Pharaoh. Brought out of that situation. Do you understand that it all goes back to Jeremiah 29:11 in your life, that God has that expected end for you? That's God. And there's nothing that your brothers and sisters, if they're like the brothers and sisters of Joseph, there's nothing that the wife of Potiphar or the husband of anybody lying on you, causing deceit, they're after you, and they want to make it known you after them, you don't have to fall for it. False accusations, in whatever shape, form, or fashion they come in, Potiphar's wife was a liar. Oh my God. And though she may have gotten away with it then, she didn't get away with it as far as God is concerned. Falsely accused, but favor. You might mess around and do something, and you know there's so many people sitting in prison right now who were falsely accused. As this thing called DNA is coming forward, so many people are being released from prisons who have sat in prisons. Joseph sat over 2 years. People have been sitting over 20 years, 30 years. A man was released this past year after almost 40 years in prison for killing somebody. And DNA says, so it's not so. But understand that when you come out, oh God, you coming out as pure gold. And just remember that everything you're dealing with, remember today, this outcome is not the end. As we go forward in through the rest of 2020, and if God so sees fit to see us into 2021, remember, everybody is calling 2020 the worst year. Oh, some people have seen some years worse than this, y'all. But remember that 2020, whatever the outcome of 2020 is, still not the end. Whatever choice you make, that outcome is not the end. But let me tell you that you got to prepare for the true end, the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You got to prepare yourselves to give your life up to him. You got to prepare now. If you don't know him in the pardon of your sins, you got to go ahead and prepare now to give your life. And you got to pray this prayer. Amen. Thank you, God. So that this outcome is not your end. This life is not the end. Your death in this life is not the end. You've got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, oh my God, died and was raised from the dead by his Father, our Father, the one and only true and living God. Romans 10 and 9 reminds us of this thing. Thank you, Lord, that we must confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that God raised Christ from the dead. The word of God says, then we shall be saved. Amen. Come on, give God a praise this morning. Give him a praise this morning. We thank you. We wanted to teach this morning. We were intrigued with Joseph's life this morning. And many of us can relate to the life of Joseph. May not be the exact same things that he went through, but things that we've gone through. We can relate to the fact that our outcome was not our end. And we got to hold fast to that this outcome is not our end. Your stuff is on the street. This outcome is not your end. You being, oh my God, threatened with eviction, this outcome is not your end. You being threatened with divorce, this outcome is not your end. You lost your baby in labor, this outcome is not your end. You lost your mother in labor, as Benjamin, who was Joseph's brother, did. Their mother died in childbirth, giving birth to him. But that was not their end. They went on and they went on. The outcome of this world is not our end. We have another life to look forward to. Come on, give God a praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We thank you again for joining us this morning. We pray that you have been blessed by the word that has gone forth. We pray that you will receive that word because it's not going to come back void. That's God speaking, that it will not come back void, that somebody will benefit from this word. Amen. And we ask that if you have been blessed by the word and you are blessed by Rhema's ministry, that you go to rhemacfchurch.com and you leave a blessing, leave an offering. We say God bless to our tithers and our offering givers. And we want to pray for you this morning. Father, we thank you now that you will bless the hands that give, O Lord. That you will bless those, O God, whose hearts, O God, readily give unto your kingdom, unto your ministry, O Father. Bless the hands that desire to give, O God, that may not have it, O God. We ask you to bless that the hands will be given unto. And the word of God says that when you give, give cheerfully. And when you give, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give into your bosom. We give him glory this morning, honor, and praise. We say thank you again. Good morning, Rhema. Good morning, people of God. Remember, we're living in excellence and walking in expectation. And we ask you to remember this, Rhema, that every person we meet is a prospective soul for the kingdom of God. God bless you. God bless you. And we'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed by the life-changing word from Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry. Rhema is located at 2106 Bonnabelle Avenue, Savannah, Georgia, 31406. Join us for worship service at 9:45 each Sunday morning. God bless.